Okay, we'd have to do this one properly. We've been name-dropping prompt engineering for what, half the show? And every time I hear us skate past it, I think, yeah, that's the bit we should have just sat down and explained.
It's also the thing people hear once and then turn into a religion or a joke. And the annoying part is that it's neither. It's just the practical skill of getting a language model to stop being slippery for 5 minutes.
Right, and that's the whole reason it keeps mattering. If you're building with these models, the difference between a sloppy prompt and a good one is the difference between cute demo and this ships.
Exactly. Think of the model like a very capable, but very literal expert who's slightly moody and has read too much internet. You don't command it the way you'd command a calculator. You frame the request so the next thing it says is more likely to be the thing you meant.
Okay, that image is already better than half the discourse. So the prompt is basically the way you walk up to the moody expert and ask the question, and the wording changes what room they walk into mentally.
Yeah. And the key thing is that the model is generating text one token at a time. We did a whole episode on tokenization, episode 601, so I won't drag us back through all of that. But the quick version is, tokens are the little chunks the model reads and writes, not always full words.
And the important part is the model is always picking the next token from what's already there, not reaching out and understanding in some human way. So the prompt is the starting context, and then everything after it is the model trying to continue that pattern.
Exactly. And just to keep the floor from disappearing under us, a language model is a system trained to predict the next token from a lot of text, and a neural network is the big mathematical structure underneath it that learns those patterns from data. That's the machinery prompt engineering is leading on.
So if I say summarize this, I'm giving it almost nothing. If I say you're a technical editor, summarize this in one paragraph, only the three most important findings, I've suddenly given it a job, a tone, and a shape.
Right, and that extra shape matters because the model is not just answering the question, it's completing a pattern. If you give it a sloppy pattern, you get a sloppy completion. If you give it a tighter one, you bias the probabilities toward a tighter answer.
That's such a weirdly unglamorous superpower. Not magic, just utter steering.
Yeah, the hype version makes it sound like wizardry. The real version is closer to being annoyingly good at briefing a very fast intern who never admits confusion.
Okay, so let's make the intern slightly less terrifying. What actually goes into a good prompt besides just being clear?
Three big things show up over and over: instruction, context, and output shape. Instruction is the task. Context is the stuff the model should use while doing it. Output shape is the format you want back, like bullets, JSON, or a short paragraph.
And that's why the boring stuff matters. If you don't say what kind of answer you want, the model has to guess whether you want a summary, a critique, a rewrite, or a rant, and it will guess with complete confidence, which is honestly very on brand for these systems.
Yeah, the model is not reading your mind. It's trying to continue the pattern that seems most statistically appropriate. So prompt engineering is really about reducing ambiguity before the model has to improvise.
Okay, but why does the phrasing matter so much? Like, why does summarize this, and you are a technical editor, summarize this in one paragraph produce such different stuff?
Because you're not just asking for content, you're invoking a role and a style. The role nudges the model toward examples of similar language it saw in training. The style tells it what kind of completion to prefer. It's not consciousness. It's a very elaborate pattern match.
So that's where the persona stuff comes from. Not because the model has a little hat on, but because the role wording activates a cluster of examples that behave more like that persona.
And that can be useful when you want consistency. If you're building a support bot, a code review, or a data extractor, a stable role prompt can make the output less wobbly.
A little less wobbly, that's doing a lot of work for these models.
It is, and it still fails sometimes. If the task is underspecified, the model will happily drift. If the task is overspecified, you can choke off useful variation. That tension is basically the whole craft.
Okay, let me put that a better way. The prompt is not just instructions, it's also a little map of what counts as success. If you don't define success, the model invents one.
That's the clean version, yeah. And once you get that, examples become the next big lever. This is the part people underestimate. If you show the model one or two worked examples of the task, it often does better than if you only describe the task in words. That's called few-shot prompting, meaning you give a few example shots at the format or pattern.
And that's because the model doesn't need to be retrained to notice the pattern. It can infer from the examples right there in the prompt what kind of thing it's supposed to produce.
Exactly. It's in context learning. The model is not changing its weights, which are the learned parameters in the network. It's using the temporary context to infer the rule for this conversation.
That's a nice distinction because people hear learning and think training. This is more like pattern induction in the moment. It's learning the shape of the task from the examples you just gave it.
Yeah, and that's why examples are so effective for structured work. If you want a classification label, a table, a style transformation, or a field extraction, showing the format usually helps more than pleading with the model to be accurate.
And it's also why a prompt can feel absurdly fragile. One example might make it suddenly click. Another example, with the same idea, but a slightly different shape, can nudge it somewhere else entirely.
Right. Prompting is full of little landmines like that. The model isn't reading intent in the human sense. It's matching local patterns very aggressively.
Which is also why I keep thinking of it as interface design. You're not fixing the brain, you're changing the way the request lands.
That's a very austere sentence.
I know, I can't help it. But it's useful. Like that episode where we talked about improving agents as a data mining problem. The real move wasn't make the model smarter, it was find the failure pattern, isolate it, and feed the system the right shape of correction. Prompting has the same vibe.
Yeah, that's a good bridge. Different mechanism, same instinct. Don't spray vague hope at the model. Give it the structure that makes the failure legible.
Okay, now, the thing people always ask about, chain of thought, or more casually, think step by step. Why does that help at all?
Because some tasks get easier when the model has room to lay down intermediate structure before it commits to the final answer. If you're doing multi-step reasoning, forcing the answer too early can make it jump to the end and miss a step. A reasoning prompt can nudge it to externalize the steps first.
So it's not that the model suddenly becomes a philosopher, it's that you've changed the path it takes through the answer space.
Exactly. And it tends to help most on math-like or logic-like tasks where intermediate steps matter. But it's not some universal spell. If the task is simple, or if the model already has a clean pattern, making it show work can just add noise.
Mm-hmm. Which is a very annoying answer, but a real one. Because everyone wants one prompting trick that works everywhere, then the honest answer is that the task decides.
Yeah. And there's a subtle trade-off here. A prompt that pushes for reasoning can improve accuracy, but it can also make the output longer, slower, and sometimes more verbose than you want. So you're balancing reliability against cost and latency.
That's the product side of it. If the answer is better, but it takes longer, or it's twice as expensive, or the user has to read a wall of text, then a better prompt may not actually be better in the product.
Right. And that's where prompt engineering stops being a cute hobby and becomes a systems problem. You're not just asking whether the answer is right. You're asking whether the whole interaction is usable.
Okay, I want to ground this in some things we've actually looked at because otherwise this gets airy fast, like the prompt work around that system where the model's moral framing skewed Western. The prompt wasn't just about output style, it was about getting the model to surface a different frame of reference than its default.
Yes, and that's a good example of prompt engineering at the boundary of behavior and framing. You're not changing the model's training, but you are changing which parts of its learned distribution get pulled forward by the wording.
And then there was the harness tuning stuff in that Nemotron playbook. That one really hit me because the prompt wasn't the whole story. The harness around it mattered. The instructions, the structure, the constraints, the way the task was staged, that's prompt engineering plus product design, basically.
which is such an exploring next take. But yes, that's the point. A prompt in isolation is often not enough. The wrapper around it can be doing half the work. Yeah, don't get used to it. We're still the same two people who would spend 40 minutes arguing over one bracket if left alone.
Honestly, that is the show. And also, I cannot believe we finally did the prompt episode.